Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
In front of the net tonight, there seemed to be not a lot of pushback on the guys, and they got clean rebounds. What was the problem there?
I mean, you know, we just weren't good enough and weren't firm enough. Didn't start the game on time. So, you know, it's one of those games where, for whatever reason, we weren't very good. We got to move on to Toronto now and get ready for a team that's playing really well.
That is Bruins coach Jim Montgomery post-game Saturday night. After a 5-1 loss to the Islanders, Bruins were down 5-0 halfway through the game. Just never in it. But we're talking about that. We're talking about trade deadline, which is coming up on Friday afternoon. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Prue on Sunday Skate, taking up to 11 a.m. So, guys, this keeps happening where the Bruins just have a bad period at some point. And on Saturday, it's the first period puts them in a hole. And they don't respond, which is a problem in and of itself. But to get down like that in the first place, after it seemed like they finally had some momentum going from Thursday with a regulation win over Vegas, over Bruce Cassidy, the defending Stanley Cup champs. I know they were shorthanded. They didn't have Jack Eichel or Mark Stone. But still, it's a pretty big win that they should build off. How do they come out flat on Saturday? How does that happen? This team just can't seem to string together good periods, good games right now. Razor, you've referenced just kind of like the doldrums of mid-season, of February into early March. Is it just that, or is there a bigger problem? Because I remain a little bit concerned about bigger picture that this team might, I know that we're not there yet, but like they might run out of time on how to get this together.
Yeah, listen, let's get through the deadline for stuff like that, right? I think it's pretty evident that each game is its own entity right now. It really is. There's no, and that's another, you could, if you wanted to be positive, really positive, you could make an argument that doesn't happen in the playoffs either. But right now, it's really next game for this group, because and every group, because again, it just is so dependent on who you're playing as well and who's in your lineup. You're seeing so much. This is the time of year too that everybody kind of holds their guy out. He could play, but he's not, etc. So you have a little bit of that. But again, it just comes down to needing to be up against a team that could desperately need to be in the playoffs, might be fighting for first place. And you have so much of that right now because teams are trying not to be sellers. Players do not want to be on a selling team because they know how downhill it goes as soon as that deadline's over with. And I think that's really what they're up against right now, is that selling mentality of some of these teams like the Islanders who want to stay in it. And that's why the momentum isn't carrying from one team to the next, or one game to the next.
Yeah, they're going to have to find a different way to play against Toronto, though. The funny thing to me is they played Toronto twice this week. They play on the road on the 4th, which is Monday, and then they play them again the 7th. And the funny thing to me is either the Bruins or Toronto could have a completely different roster. Like, because if the trade deadline is the day after, right? So theoretically, at some point this week, in between those two games, there could be a move that changes even just the Monday game from the Thursday game in what the roster looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder, because we heard from the Bruins when the Panthers were closing the gap and have now passed them for first place in the division. A bunch of Bruins players were asked about that, and the mindset was kind of, we're not looking at the standings right now. We're just worried about ourselves. But I do wonder, is there a point here coming up soon where you start to look at the standings and maybe use that as some sort of motivation, something to get you going? Because this week, these two games against Toronto could be a good opportunity for that. Toronto is only 6 points behind you, and they have two games in hand. So the possibility is there for the Leafs to catch and pass the Bruins too, especially if they were to sweep these two head-to-head games this week. So should the Bruins be trying to look for some added motivation from the standings? Should they maybe pay attention to that a little bit?
No, they're not going to look at it from the standings point of view. Listen, they always get up for Toronto. They beat Toronto twice this season already, so Toronto owes them in a big way. Listen, you go up to Toronto and everyone is so scared of the Bruins. There is the biggest, oh my God, the Boston Bruins are in town than you've ever heard of. This isn't like you. This is, it kind of goes to that perspective thing, and Bruins fans laser focused on the Bruins. Listen, I guarantee you, people in Toronto, which I'm gonna go. I literally get texts every 15 minutes about going on the radio Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon. They are so scared of losing both of these games to the Boston Bruins and falling out of the playoffs altogether. Right, like that's literally what's happening. On a radio in Toronto right now.
Wait,
they're saying,
often are you on Toronto radio?
They're
are you cheating on us?
They are relentless. They are relentless. And it's certainly, I don't give them my best. Don't worry. They're petrified of the Boston Bruins up there. Back to the Bruins. They will get something out of this. They're not going to say we need these 2 points because we need to stay in second place or third place. They're going to say we need to have an effort against this Leafs team because, one, they can blow us out the building with their offense. But, two, we own them and we need to continue to own them and play solid defensively and let them make mistakes so we can beat them at those mistakes. So it'll be a good week to get their attention. There's no doubt that you are going to get a good effort from the Bruins on Monday night. You're not going to get a blowout 5-1 and three goals in the first period. That's just not that. Their attention will be up a lot more than what it was Saturday night. I have no doubt in that. It is a tough week. You've got Edmonton in between that. Edmonton's very similar to Toronto in that if you play good defense, you're going to get opportunities. You're going to get the chances to win. So you get those guys back-to-back, again, where you talk about momentum. If they win Monday night, it's really hard to get that going and crank that up with Edmonton sitting there watching and waiting on Tuesday. So that's a good example, too, of how hard it is to keep momentum going because of the way the schedule is. But I feel like you are going to get a great effort from them, Toronto. You might not win, but you're going to get a solid attention-focused antenna up because it's Toronto and because you're in Toronto on a Monday night.
Yeah, you should. Like, I'll tell you right now, like, I'm going to be a lot more concerned next week coming in if we get a couple more no-shows with the schedule they have coming up because, yeah, the back-to-back is going to be tough. Like, that's – you wish the back-to-back was Wednesday, Thursday, two home games where you're not – going out to Toronto and then coming back for Tuesday night against Edmonton, but it is what it is. Every team has scheduling quirks. It is funny, though, like when you talk about other markets who and people around the country where the concern levels, like someone, they still look at the Bruins as, you know, as a really good team. And, you know, like with Edmonton coming up, I was on Edmonton radio when they were out there.
You were on Edmonton radio?
I sure was.
Am I the only one not cheating on this show?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you do college hockey. So
I do.
That's true.
You just got a lot of college
hockey.
I have
four jobs, but yeah. Most of it's college.
PWHL, yeah, the whole thing. But yeah, like they were asking about DeBrusque, and it's like, I know he's in like a little bit of a slump again, but you know, I'm sure he'll be fine. And it's like, oh boy, like Bruins fans don't seem to think that. Like they don't think he's just going to be fine. You know, they're all panicked. They want to sell, like get rid of him. But that does, so we've talked about, you know, potential players they could move, listen to. to me, Jake DeBrusk remains the most interesting. The goalie talk is one thing. I think we all agree it's pretty unlikely unless they get blown away. The DeBrusk talk to me is more real. Like, that's one where you really do legitimately have to make a decision on, are you signing him? Is he part of your longer term future? Or is it time to cut bait? Is it time to get something for him? And again, my approach would be turn around, use those assets to get another forward. Ideally, someone more consistent, more of a surefire top six winger. Not trade him away and then do nothing else. But what do you think when we come in next Sunday? Is Jake DeBrusk still a Bruin?
Oy.
Yeah, because next show is post-trade deadline.
Yeah.
Yes, thank goodness.
We will know what their team looks like for the stretch run in the playoffs.
And we won't have to talk about real life rather than scenarios. In this one, this is a tough scenario for me. This is a really tough scenario for me. I wish I'd seen, before I have to answer this, I wish I'd seen more deals with these guys. Like, I wish I knew what Gensel went for. I wish I knew what Tarasenko went for. Like, because I put Jake in with those guys. Because, and maybe not quite far as high up as a Gensel, but pretty similar, because you just said it, like the perception around the league is a little bit different than it is here with Jake DeBrusk. He's a 25 goal scorer pretty consistently. 20 goals, you can basically lock him in for that no matter how much he cools down. There's a lot of thought that if he had that change of location will sprout him to 35 goals, 30 goals. And so I'm curious what the value is elsewhere, and does that value fit, and will he come back, right? Like, it also becomes into that, you know, do the Bruins actually believe that they could get him back even if he does become an unrestricted free agent? Does he like it enough here? Can they find a way to put it together even after the season, a la Forsberg in Nashville? So I feel like there's of all the players that are on the roster, I feel like that he's probably the greatest possibility of going, but I wouldn't guarantee it, because I think that he still provides his team with value in certain ways. And we've seen that the last couple of years when there was issues going on, the Bruins still felt and believed highly in him.
Yeah. I've made this point too. Like, when he was playing with an elite center and Patrice Bergeron, there was an 82 game stretch from the end of like the second half of the 21-22 season through much of last season where he scored at a 40 goal pace.
Correct.
Over 82 games. So like, that's in there. And I could easily see, we mentioned Edmonton, you know, hometown team looking for a top six upgrade. Like, what does Jake DeBrusk do if you put him on a line with Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl? Is he a 40 goal scorer? He's probably at least a 30 goal scorer type player. So yeah, it is interesting. Like, I could see something like that. I don't know. Bridget, what do you think? Do you think DeBrusk is here?
I actually had a question. That's tough. And I am not a gambler, by the way, and I am not a psychic. But I personally think that they already are lacking offensively to the point where they can't afford to lose him. Mm-hmm. That's just where I stand on that. And I know we're like about to hit a break right now, but I do have a question on the other side for Razor about one of the factors of trading Linus Ullmark instead of Jake DeBrusk as the big move. And yeah, there's something I was thinking about between the last time we talked, Razor, and I guess over the past few games where they haven't looked so great and to now, that changed my mind a little bit about whether or not they should trade a goalie.
Okay.
So I want to ask Razor something on the other side.
All right, yeah. I have some thoughts on Ullmark too. So yeah, we will definitely get to that. You can call in with your thoughts, whether it's DeBrusk, Ullmark, something else. 617-779-7937. Sunday, Bridget, as you're trending, and then Sunday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Skate will be back after that.
Non-stop hockey talk. It's Sunday Skate on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Andrew Raycroft did not use Dunsky.
No, he didn't.
Last night on Nesson.
You know, and I know Razor listens. He's a hardcore P1. He was really happy when Samoa Joe was undressing me and, you know, putting me in my place.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Did a good job of it. And he took a victory lap. Okay. Razor.
Dunsky.
Yeah, there you go. Razor. I don't know. I used to love Razor, but he made a promise that he wasn't willing to keep. And maybe because the Bruins lost. He didn't do it. I should start asking Jaffe to do it.
Oh, that's
he's got a set.
Not,
no, he's got a set.
You'll get
he's
shot.
Tougher. He's tougher than Razor.
You'll get shot down.
Razor's a big baby.
You'll get shot down by Jaffe.
I don't think so.
Razor just getting dragged by Fourier.
Yes, I did. You know, until I went actually on and spoke with him, he wasn't quite as contentious, but. Yes, I didn't say Dunsky.
He gets really offended when you don't say Dunsky and he tells you to
say
Dunsky.
Well, no, I mean, like I said to him, I said, tell me what I was wearing on the set and I will actually take you seriously. Because I know you didn't watch a second of that entire pregame, postgame, or the game. And I know you haven't done so all season long. So you can't get after me too much here for you. So.
Yeah, that was, he had whoever was the night producer here, whoever's on overnights. He just had him tuning
in. Yeah, and he admitted it. He didn't know. He's like, oh, it was a nice time. Like, I didn't have a tie.
Just say it right now, and we'll just...
Clip it?
Yeah, we'll clip it. We'll say, hey, look, he said
Dunsky.
It.
Yes. Dunsky, Dunsky, Dunsky. Clip it.
Do you remember the origin of Dunsky? Do you remember when that started?
Yeah, the Chara thing.
Yeah.
Which was like his...
He's Dunsky. He was the insider,
in the
right?
Stanley Cup final. Broken jaw, Dunsky. He's not playing the rest of the series.
Oh,
he's,
so great.
And he's in the next game.
Oh, that
he's like, I have an inside source. I know the dentist. Like, or,
yeah,
like,
yeah
he's
he literally,
playing.
And he was being serious. He literally thought he had the inside line on it. Amazing.
Well, I mean, in fairness, you would think a broken jaw for most guys is going to be Dunsky, but it's a Daniel Chara, not most guys.
No.
All right. We're back with Sunday Skate.
I had to ask for that because I was here when he said that, and he said, Razor's a big baby. I said, Nick, can you please save that off for me?
Big baby. Silliest thing in the world.
Yep. He also said at a different point that I didn't keep that in this cut, but that you can't trust Canadian goaltenders, which I don't know where that comes from, but yeah.
Very
so
specifically
many
Canadian
yes,
goalies.
Yeah, well, yeah, goalies, just like the whole specific Canadian goalie thing
yeah,
is
and Gresh goes, can you trust Canadian defensemen? He goes, yeah.
Follow up, how many Canadian defensemen does
yeah, it's zero. Zero. He's never, doesn't even know where Canada
is. He's
going to
be really mad when he hears this on Monday.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
All right.
He deserves it.
But before break, you said you had a question involving Linus Ullmark.
I do. I'm kind of mad at myself a little bit because I'm questioning my original take on whether or not I think they should trade Linus Ullmark, because I have always been in the camp of no, don't do it. Keep both goalies. You never know who's going to be healthy. You need the rotation. All of a sudden, they're not playing their best hockey right now. And we're still not sure whether or not they're willing to go to a rotation in the playoffs. And if you're not willing to go and you're going to choose one or the other, then one of them's not going to help you in the playoffs. Like, you're not getting the same value as you do in the regular season to have to. If you're of the mindset, like, and Razor, you've talked about it before, that you think it should be more of a one guy, not an even split situation. Well, if that's the case and they already know that, then they should be willing to trade Ullmark for someone that can be an everyday player in the playoffs for them. And that's where my brain has gone this week. I would be uncomfortable with just Swayman. I I like the depth of the position, because if you get hurt at goalie, your season's over if you don't have one of the, like, one of the other ones backing it up. And I understand that. But that's also a big if. That they have the luxury right now, if they don't trade him, I'm not having to worry about completely. But at the same time, if one of your goalies isn't going to be getting a lot of ice time, why don't you consider trading for a bigger piece on offense that can play every game, that can help you every game? And I would completely not have this opinion if I thought they were willing to rotate them in the playoffs. I don't think they are. So, and at that point, my mind goes to, all right, then you might be able to get more value specifically for a playoff run if you move him and you get an offensive piece instead.
So the issue, all of that would be great, but you're not getting an offensive piece for him. That's the issue. That's the problem.
Exactly. So if you were able to take Hallmark, a draft pick, whatever, and parlay that into a deal for a second line winger or even center/winger, like someone that can be versatile and play either, that's something I'd be interested in them doing, because I think that could boost what they need right now. And like I said, I like both goalies. I'm someone who's not super, like, not a whole lot of a risk taker, I guess you could say. And I think that's a big risk to, like, risk the health at that position on just one player potentially going down instead of having two. But at the same time, that's just come into my mind over the past few days, is do you really need both? If Swayman's healthy, if you trust him, right? Like, if you already know you trust him for a playoff series and that you trust him with a whole playoff series, like, if you would trust him with a whole playoff series, well, maybe it is time to move Hallmark.
Let me throw in an idea here, because this is something that was just rattling around in my brain, but I think could make sense where you do get an offensive piece. The New Jersey Devils, by all accounts, are looking for a goalie. There's been reports that they keep circling back to Jacob Markstrom in Calgary. But the latest reports there, the Flames are probably going to keep him. He's under contract for a couple more years. Let's say it's Linus Ullmark to the Devils, who are looking for a goalie not just for this year, but for next year as well, right? Because they want to retool quickly. They want to be a contender next year. So Ullmark to the Devils. Tyler Toffoli is a pending free agent in New Jersey. New Jersey right now outside the playoffs looking in. Is there a hockey trade built around those two that can make sense? Salary-wise, it's Ullmark $5 million, Toffoli $4.25. That works. That's fine. Tyler Toffoli has 26 goals this season. That would certainly be an offensive upgrade for the Bruins. He has playoff experience. I believe there's been reports that, you know, New Jersey is talking to him, is interested in an extension, but obviously nothing's happened yet. So no inside info from me on this, but this is just something I was thinking about, of the kind of trade that might make some sense for both parties.
Well, I think it would. I don't think New Jersey's doing that. I don't think goalies have that much value. I don't think Toffoli would have went even for Markstrom with 2 years of term on his deal. I don't think you want to make that deal in conference if you're the Bruins. And you still need a backup goalie, right? Like, you still need to go find somewhere else a backup goalie that's a million or 2 million.
You don't think they could call up Bussy or?
No. Bussy and, no, you can't, no. Not again, don't forget, this team isn't like eighth place in the conference. This team is like.
I know, but we
you can't just have a guy, you can't just put me on the bench as a backup goalie, right?
Why not?
Like, because it doesn't work.
You don't want to?
I mean, I get that you would be in trouble in the playoffs if something happened to Swayman, but for 6 to 7 more starts or whatever you need down the stretch from a number two goalie. And I mean,
well, it's easy for us. Again, this is, we have to be careful, right? Let's think about actually being in that chair, making that decision and having a whole organization underneath you and just doing that, right? Like, that's why that doesn't happen. Because you can't do that. If you're in charge of $1 billion business,
you can't just bring up Bussy and hope for the best. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no. I don't see how that.
But, like, if he is limited, though, like, if he does only need to take, say, 33, like, a third of the starts, and Swayman still takes 2/3, like, are you concerned with him doing that? Like, can he handle that? And then, obviously, playoffs would be entirely on Swayman.
No, I'm just you just you can't like you, they again it goes back if they were the Arizona Coyotes that would be one thing, but they're literally it's the Boston Bruins and they're in second place in the National Hockey League
so
in points.
So I'm saying too
you can't
big of a risk.
Way too big of a risk and just for to do it now. Again, if it's the reason why none of these goalies are getting moved because they're summer deals and none of the teams want to do it either. Calgary doesn't even want to move their starting goalie right now in being afraid of what will happen to the team the rest of the way, let alone, and they're not even in the playoffs and probably won't make the playoffs. That's why Markstrom's not going there, because they're not getting the value back from New Jersey. It's not the other way around, right? So that's, I think
they
it's
don't have the same kind of redundancy at the position that Boston does.
What do you mean?
Like when you have Swayman, like when you have a 1A, 1B the way that Ullmark and Swayman are, like that's why it keeps coming up. It's because there's not a lot of redundancy in the roster where you're like, okay, well, if we get rid of this guy, we still have that guy, except for at goalie. Like at goalie, you do have two guys that can go and that you trust. So other teams don't.
Yeah, and if you are still trying to go for it this year, if you think this team needs upgrades, like it is the one spot where you free up $5 million that allows you to go upgrade somewhere else where it's not, you know, because otherwise it's, okay, you're going to trade a defenseman or two, bring in another defenseman that you hope is a big enough upgrade. Trade DeBrusque, bring in another forward winger that you hope is a big enough upgrade. Moving Ullmark allows you to actually add without subtracting from another area of the roster. And, you know, I get it. You want to have someone you trust and feel comfortable with as your number two goalie, but it's
like a luxury versus
it is. It's a luxury, and you're a team that right now is so up against the cap that you can't really afford too many luxuries. So, you know, I'm not giving away Linus Ullmark, but if I can get something that allows me to meaningfully upgrade elsewhere, which I think like a Tyler Toffoli would, or, you know, there could be another deal like that or two deals together or whatever it is. I think you have to at least consider it. And yeah, it leaves you thin, but I think you're taking a risk if you don't upgrade other parts of the roster anyways. Like, I also think that's a risk to just kind of stick with what you have and ride it out.
Yeah. I think I don't know what else to say. Like I'm solidly against all of that. I guess I don't know what else, like how else to phrase it or put it, in that I'm not trading a Vezina Trophy goalie for a second round pick 2 days before the deadline on
not for a second round pick. Like we're talking about like a
but that's not the market.
But if
it's not the market, then but
yeah, okay, so yeah, of course I'm trading. So I'm going to go the opposite of what you're saying now. I'm trading Linus Ullmark for Connor McDavid.
No, not
let's
like,
hope that happens.
You're
fingers
the
crossed.
Extremes.
Let's hope. But it's I am. But it feels extreme to me to do it. In like to say yeah, well Toffoli, yeah, maybe that would be kind of cool, but to just say that would be like there's no reference point of that being what the market is for goaltenders. I think that's what makes it hard. Yeah, and again, I don't think we can discredit the fact that Brandon Bussey's never played an NHL hockey game before. We're all on that page, right? So
yes. You
guys say, well, six games isn't it? What if he can't play six games? Like what we don't know. Like there's lots of guys in the minors that have played pretty good at times in the minors that have never made it to the NHL. So to say that we're all like, I think it's a little presumptive to say that we're sold on Brandon Bussey playing one game in the NHL in his career, let alone six in a playoff run down the stretch. And so I think, again, you have to, if you're going to take all of these pieces into consideration, you have to expect the Bruins have to go get a backup goaltender, which is going to cost $1 million or $2 million.
2021, they went into the play. And I know Jeremy Swayman had played NHL games, so it's not apples to apples. But they went into that postseason with Swayman relatively unproven as their number two behind Rask. And
well, Tuukka's been to Stanley Cup final. Like Tuukka's not built the same as these two guys who haven't won a playoff series before.
Yeah, but he was also banged up at that point, so there was a chance.
And
you were going to need Swayman.
He wasn't happy, Jaro Halak, but he was in the wings too. So it again, and And I would suggest that that team wasn't, you know, thought of quite as highly as this team. There was a lot. That was when no one was in the building. We were all wearing masks still, right? So that was like you couldn't really do much. It was just okay to go on. I guess the best way to do it is I'm saying no, don't trade the goalies, and other people are saying yes, trade the goalies. If he pulls off a trade and he gets great pieces, I will tip my cap to everyone who said that was a good idea. And there might be a play. There might be a play where it does work and it's a good idea. I don't see it because I haven't seen any other goalies getting traded, and I'm seeing guys like Markstrom who should get traded not get traded. So I'm thinking that tells me that there's no market for these guys, and I'm not trading them for a third-round pick.
Or maybe there's one team that's desperate for a goalie,
correct.
And the price goes up for Omar because he's the only one available.
Listen, if that happens, and then, again, I'll be impressed with the move by Don to find that thing, and I'll come on here Sunday and say I was completely wrong, and I completely got the market wrong, and that was a great deal, and you guys were all right. I'll happily do that.
I'm not trying to be right. It's just that my risk reward, like my way of thinking about the risk and reward of it, has changed. Like the risk I thought was too high before, and now I just don't see the way that I'm thinking about it now. If they're willing, if they trust Swayman, that the risk isn't as high as I thought that it used to be in my mind. So that's why I've changed to, it would have to be the right deal, obviously. It'd have to be bringing in a winger that can make an impact, a forward that can score. And then you might be able to get more use out of that than Ullmark if you were just going to keep one goalie. That's where my brain is at this week. I'm a little bit upset with myself that I got here because I feel like I went from yelling at Adam Jones that this is a stupid idea to then like one day waking up. And anytime you agree with Adam Jones, you have to question.
But it's also like I think you become more open to these ideas when the team is scuffling here and looking for ways. Oh, all right. What do they have to do? Like, how do they get this back on track? And by the way, worth noting, I mentioned it earlier, but Ullmark hasn't been playing like Ullmark recently either. So, you know, 875 over this 5-game losing streak since the All-Star break. He's basically been league average. Like,
you're not helping his trade value. Now he's a fifth-round pick.
Well, hey, not my job to help his trade value. So, let's go to David and Wellesley, who has a trade thought not involving Linus Ullmark, though. David, how are you doing?
Hi, just a couple of points. As someone who watched the 2015 draft, to me, a hidden benefit to trading DeBrusk would be we might be finally able to start putting it behind us and stop thinking about it every time he's on the ice, because taking Zboril and Senzanitsyn and him is what's killing him right now in terms of death, I think. And the other thing I wanted to say was that I can't believe that Andrew Raycroft thinks they should go all in just because of their record. I mean, last year they got Orlov and Hathaway at the deadline, pretty tough guys, and had the greatest record ever, and they folded in the playoffs, and everything we've seen so far suggests they're going to fold in playoffs again this year. So I don't know where that thinking comes from. They also don't really have the ability with the cap space, unless they go through, you know, jumping through hoops to try to even do anything creative. To me, I think you should just sit pat and take what's going to happen. So,
okay.
Those are my thoughts.
All right. Thanks a lot, David.
Lost me a 2015 draft.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's 9 years ago. Like, whatever. Yes, they blew it. Wasn't good. Should have gotten better players. But whatever recovery you have to do from that, like, it's happened. We're nearly a decade past it. It is what it is. Like, yeah, sure. You'd love to have Kyle Connor. Matt Barzal would have been a nice player to have. Thomas Chabot.
How do you fit those guys under the cap? They're all making $10
right.
million. How do you fit those three guys making $10 million?
If you had drafted Barzal, you're probably trading away Krejci at some point before the end of his career. Like, yeah, listen, I was, for a while, I was as big a fan of ripping that draft as anyone, but we're 9 years past it. Like, so much has changed. There's been so many retoolings of the roster. I don't think that's a factor this year. Like,
no, okay, so, yeah, his point of why we should look at their record and that's the only reason why we should, something like that, right? Like, I'm big on this team because of the record. And then he went to last year. Well, they had a great record and they blew it in the play. So we just don't, it doesn't matter. Like, that's what I don't understand that. I don't understand any of those arguments. I don't. So we just stand pat. Don't ever try and get better in life. No, like, everybody just stand pat. We'll all just stand pat. Don't try and get better. Don't try and do better tomorrow. Just stand pat and hope for the best. Seems like that's how all of these guys got to the highest profession in the world. That's how they got to the highest level of their professions, by just standing pat every day. It seems
like a real, like, C's get degrees kind of mentality. Well, like, we're just going to skate through, get the C, make it into the playoffs.
I know Orlov and Hathaway and Bertuzzi aren't coming. Like, I get it. We're not pushing all. They can't push all the chips. I get all of that. But to say just stand pat and not try to make the team better is, like, so defeatist and, like, sad to me. Like, why would you have that mentality on anything?
Before we get to this last break, Razor, I want to get your thoughts on this, because yes, players, coaches, they can't throw in the towel.
I'm going to jump in just real quick, because that goes to, like, yeah, if he makes a deal and trades a goalie because it makes the team better, then yes. I don't think they can make the team better by trading the goalie. But if he does and they do it, I'll be the first one clapping, because that will mean that's trying to get better. So sorry, I had to jump in on that, because that kind of good. Barbells yeah. my side is that I'm not negative on any move. If they make it and they think it's because their team's getting better, and if there is a path to trading a goaltender for a player that does make them better, and again, I'm going to champion that. I really would.
Okay, so let's say, because of all these things we've talked about, the cap space, the assets, trademark, whatever, Don Sweeney does end up standing pat because he just can't find the right deal. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do anything before Friday. What's the reaction in the locker room? How do players react to being a second-place team, being firmly in the playoffs, your general manager doesn't do anything at the deadline?
That will depend on what happens around them, but it can be negative. That can be negative too, and we saw the excitement last year when those three players came in, and wow, we're the best team in the league and we're going for it. Like, there was absolute excitement, and you do get a bump from the deadline one way or the other, and I think that's an important message for the team to send as well. Listen, if nothing happens basically across the Eastern Conference, because basically no one can make a move, and Don Sweeney goes down and has his meeting with the guys and says, or with at least with leadership, and says, listen, this is what we do and this is what we had on the table and this is how it went. And that message is sent one way or the other around that deadline. And that will be okay. But I think if Florida gets better, the Leafs get better, the Rangers get better, Carolina, Hurricanes, Tampa, Detroit all make moves, and Bruins just don't do anything, I think that'll be, you can be discouraged by that as a player, certainly. So, again, a big mental piece of all of this, and why, you know, trying to get better is always really important. Because and just saying, when I hear selling or standing pat, I just hear it so negatively. That could happen where you don't make moves or nothing happens, but it won't be from a lack of effort or a lack of care.
There also is a mental aspect to trading someone off the active roster too, though. Like, the
you
way
have
that
to be Allmark, right about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like if Allmark, they like Allmark, right? Like, it's not, him and Swayman are legitimately best friends. How does that affect the mentality of the team?
Well, that's it, and that's where you go. Like, if you trade again, and I know you guys aren't saying trade him for a draft pick, but you know, what if you're a player in there and you're saying we just trade? And I know you're not saying that, but I'm saying if it is that, just to get a piece for somewhere else, but that piece is a fourth line energy winger.
Yeah, okay? that's not an investment at that point.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what management has to be careful of doing these things just to do it. It has to be really well thought out, because everybody's watching. The guys are watching every single deal come across the board. They know who's getting who, what team's getting what. And that's why this week can be important. And we see those small little deals like Rich Peverly. I love the mythology of the Rich Peverly deal. That makes a difference. And some team will talk about the Rich Peverly deal forever because of what they did this week.
All right. We got to catch our last break here. Final segment of Sunday Skate coming up, taking up to 11 a.m. Razor, I know you have to run. So we will be right back after this on Sunday Skate on WEI.
Dunsky. Yes. Dunsky. Dunsky. Dunsky.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, welcome back to Sunday Skate. Final segment. Razor had to run. Bridger Prue's still here.
Yep.
I'm Scott McLaughlin. Let's, right off the top here, since we only have a few minutes left, take Phil in New Hampshire, who has a thought on trading a goalie.
Hello. Happy Sunday.
Hi, Phil.
Happy Sunday, Phil.
Thank you. Listen, I think, you know, last year we had Linus, right? And we had, like, we had Swayman breathing down his neck. They were close, but at the same time, there was that healthy competition. I think now that it's flipped and they're so damn close that I think that the healthy competition thing is gone, and it's just like nothing matters. It's like, hey, you know, three goals a game, yay. I honestly think that trading Linus or Swayman, but I say Linus, trading Linus would and having Bussy breathing down Swayman's neck is probably a healthier thing for the team itself. I think that our goalies don't have edge anymore. They've turned into the same goalie. They have terrible rebound control. There's no aggression anymore. It is bad in that. Our goaltending is bad right now. So I don't know how you feel about that, but when I watch this, it's glaring to me.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Both goalies have had some off games recently since the All-Star break.
And I think that's really why my mind has changed to the point where,
like, right, because
I'm willing to go there.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, if, especially early this season, at times last year, like, they bail you out when the rest of the team isn't playing all that well in front of them. If that's not really happening, which it hasn't happened as much this year, certainly not in the last month, then, yeah, it's having that tandem isn't as much of a strength as it once was. Now, yeah. I still think they could get back to that, because I do still think they're both good goalies, and I still think you have one of the best goalie situations in the league, period. So, like, I wouldn't totally give up on one or both of them bouncing back in a big way down the stretch. But yes, right now, it's very easy to look at it and be like, well, is that even really that much of a strength? Because it kind of hasn't been.
Yeah, it's like, is it a big enough insurance policy that it's, that you're not willing to move away from one of them? And Scott, this is for you. I get to pick the outro songs, and Scott, this is an inside joke. You know what song this is?
Yeah, this is Creed, which is a favorite of the Skate Pod. So, yeah, phenomenal choice. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Sunday Skate. John Lyons coming up next, so plenty of good Patriots talk if you've been, hanging around, if you're done with hockey talk, because the Bruins just have you miserable right now. But we will be back 9 a.m. next Sunday. Bridget, Razor, myself.
Post-trade deadline.
So we will
have
a trade deadline to react to. We will have a roster, the final roster, to break down and figure out exactly what the Bruins have as they hit the stretch run. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.